You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
And so these are encouraging prophetic words. Now, Pastor Kilpatrick is going to talk about there's four ways that God's going to restore. There's four ways that God's going to restore the fear of the Lord based on the goodness of God in the church. The first one he's going to talk about is the church will see the glory and experience the presence of God like the church has never experienced in history. The second one he's going to talk about is the church will witness the final shaking of all things. Let's go there now.
Now, there's four reasons why the church will fear the goodness of God. I want to cover them with you right quick. Four reasons why the church in these last days will fear the goodness of the Lord. The latter church, the latter day church will see two things. They will see the glory of God and they will experience the presence of God as no other church in history. I have often told you this before, and many of you know it firsthand. On Father's Day of 1995, I was there from the get-go. I was there in the very first service, and I was there for the entire revival. I know what happened on Father's Day of 95. I know revival broke out. We'd pray 2.5 years, and I know that revival broke out, but I also saw something else happen that I didn't even know what it was, although I just got through preaching a 10-part sermon on the glory of God. And whenever I hit the floor that morning, it felt as though I weighed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds. It was like a huge, huge security blanket was tossed over me. I didn't have a fear. I didn't have a yearning. I didn't have a wish. I didn't have any kind of desire. Except, oh God, whatever this is, don't let it lift off of me. And I lay there for 4 hours on the floor. For me to lay anywhere awake 4 hours is a miracle of unbelievable proportions. But I lay there for 4 hours. And what I saw was, and what the Lord said to me was, he said, I'm going to put you on the road. And I want you to go and I want you to travel to the places where I send you. And I want you to start talking about my glory because you've experienced it. And he said, I want you to start talking about my glory. He said, because in this revival that has come to Brownsville, he said, I am reintroducing to the American church my glory, which they have not experienced for a long, long, long time. And he said, as you go, I'll give you the information. You preach what I give you. And as you go, I'll put you out on the cutting edge of my glory before it ever shows up. I want you there talking about it and helping pastors and churches get prepared for it when it comes, because if you don't, when it comes, they won't know what in the world it is. So the Lord said to me yesterday, he said, the latter-day church will see the glory and will experience the presence of God as no other church in history. So when the Lord shall come, the Bible said in Thessalonians, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe. There's coming an adulation, a new admiration of the Lord. In these last days, the glory of the Lord is coming. The presence of the Lord is going to increase. And God's people will admire him and adore him. It will be an adulation unlike anything that the church has ever known or experienced before. It says, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Beholding God's goodness and feeling his glory will cause amazement to come upon people. I remember whenever revival first started, I had so many mixed emotions. My mother had just died. I wish so bad that she could have been there just to at least seen it. I think she did see it, but I couldn't see her see it. And I wanted her to be there to see it and to experience it. And it was the most, I had so many just paradox. It was a paradox of emotions. I also had just lost some of my dearest people in my church because they didn't want revival. And the Lord told me, he said, you may lose hundreds, but you'll gain thousands. And I didn't lose but 38 people, 36 or 38 people, maybe it's 34, I can't remember now. But it was in the 30s of people that I lost because revival broke out, and we lost 30-something people. But we gained thousands of people. We went from 1,700 every week in regular church to over 5,000 a week. But when I saw people coming in and planes landing at the Pensacola Airport and rental buses, charter buses coming in and delivering people at the front door of the church, and people that had not ever been in church before and they just were drawn there to that church, had no religious upbringing, never been in a church before, and when they were brought into the glory, whew, I can feel it now. I said, when they were brought into the glory, the tears would run. It wasn't anything to do with the preacher. It wasn't anything to do with the singing. Even before the song service started, even before the preaching started, they would just come in and be squalling their eyes out as they walked down the aisles. Oh God, give us again another revival of the glory of God coming into our churches in America. And I remember seeing them crying. I remember seeing them so touched and bent over as they came into the presence of God. And what brought the people to Brownsville was not Steve. It surely wasn't me. And it wasn't Lindell. And no advertisement. We never advertised. And 4.5 million people came from all over the world. Why did they come? Because people were getting the word out among the nations. If you go to that church down there in that seaside city called Pensacola, Florida, the glory of God is there. And people came because of the glory of God. I've got news for you. They're coming back because of an increase of the glory of God. Somebody give him praise. Holy Spirit showed me that powerful conviction is going to come on leaders and churches right out of the clear blue. They're going to come in as any other Sunday, and they're going to get up, and they're going to have their little thing planned out, and they're going to start. But all of a sudden, when they start their services, something's going to happen. God's going to touch the preacher. God's going to begin to touch people in the crowd. There's going to be weeping. There's going to be shouts of joy. They won't know what to do, but God has just invaded the house. That's what's going to happen real soon in the United States of America. Give him praise. Holy Spirit is going to start invading so-called houses of worship. They will be totally transformed almost overnight and will resent anything that will go on in that church henceforth that is not pleasing to God. You will hear more and more people say, Jesus came to me in a dream. I sent. You will hear people say, God came to me in a dream, and it so transformed my life, and it will humble them. He might not have come to them in their daylight hours, but the Lord is going to start appearing to people in their dreams, and when they wake up, they'll never be the same again. It's coming as sure as I stand behind this. Come on, give God praise. Woo! Sharaba ramandabo sarabayanabo kantababo. Many people will say, I've experienced his presence and I'm changed. He's put a new love in my heart. I've never had this kind of love in my heart before. Apostates, former apostates will say, he didn't even condemn me. He just reached out to me in love. Keep in mind, yes, there are going to be terrible things happening in the world because the tribulation must take place. And there's going to be great shakings that's going to take place in the nations of the earth. Yes, there will be. But it's going to cause repentance. I remember when the towers fell in New York. I knew that something was going to happen. I didn't know that it was going to be that, but I left the pulpit on Sunday morning at Brownsville. I left my seat on the platform, took the pulpit, and I heard these words come out of my mouth. I didn't think them up. I said, you will cut on your television. If you go back and look that up, you can look it up in the archives at Brownsville. And I said, you will say when you cut on your TV, oh my God. And I said, friends, I don't really know what I'm saying, but I said, it's going to happen by Tuesday. Forgot about it. Went and preached in Lexington, Kentucky on Monday night. I preached in Lexington, got up to preach, and I said, in the morning, you'll cut on your television sets, and you'll say, oh my God. Well, I was in the back of my coach asleep, and Tony and them that travels with me knocked on my door, and we were in Atlanta. And I was going to preach for Jensen that night with John Hagee and a couple of other people. And the reason why I'm telling you that is because when the buildings came down, they barred all flights. So John Hagee couldn't fly up to be with Jensen that night. I was supposed to be there with him. So Jensen called him and said, could you please be here tonight? Stay with me, because he said nobody else can fly in. And he said, we'll talk about things. I said, well, I really need to go home. I said, I know my church is upset and I know my family's upset. I really need to. He said, no, please, please stay. So that night we had a meeting and they had to open up the doors. People were just everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And while we were there, while I was there on the coach watching it, I saw when the second plane hit the towers and you could see the buildings collapse. You could see the big towers on top of the buildings as they just collapsed and came down. And revival had just ended in the year 2000. And I said to the Lord, as I saw the buildings come down, I said, Lord, does this mean that revival is over? Because America was still under the influence of a powerful revival in Pensacola. I said, does this mean that revival is over? I said, it looks like judgment has come. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, as emphatically as I've ever had the Lord speak to me, he said, no. He said, revival will come again. He said, but it will be in conjunction with end time events. He said, when the world begins to see the things that has been prophesied in my word that's going to come to pass before my coming, he said, it will shake the nations of the earth. And he said, there will be a greater revival than they have ever known before. Somebody give God praise today. I said, somebody give God praise today.
So we go out there to be able to gather like we normally gather. We think it's a standard gathering. You know, I was there working with my wife and with the young marrieds and ministry and with the men's ministry and just loved the church, loved the people there. But all of a sudden, you know, he began to speak and it just seemed kind of standard when Steve Hill was speaking. We were kind of used to it. We're in that mode. But he says, I can't wait to pray for you. I can't wait to pray for you. I can't wait to pray for you. He said over and over and over again. And of course, eventually at the end of his message, you know, remembering the wonders of the Lord, I believe it was that he was speaking on, that he got out and began to pray for us. And it was like we went from a state of just being just stuck in this tradition. But as he began to pray for us, he just lightly touched the top of our head like this, very lightly. And he just say, more, Lord, more of your presence. You know, and it was just like a small trickle of the presence of God. And it was just like, then we would pray and he'd pray and then somebody else would be touched and somebody else would be touched and he'd be going all over the place to be able to pray. And if you understand that you have to go after God, you have to go after the glory of God, the presence of God. God's, if you read the songs of Solomon, he's always like pulling back. He's pulling back to see if you'll come after him. And so Steve kept praying and praying and praying, and it got thicker and thicker and thicker. And all of a sudden, it was just like something shifted. And all of a sudden, the revival, we had no idea what God was going to do that. He just broke out in a powerful move of God. And I remember at one particular point when, you know, we were kind of tattered and torn, you know, in life. So God was going to heal us first there at Brownsville, Assembly of God. And so I remember coming up, and Steve was, and I, you know, just, I don't just fall down for, you know, you shouldn't just fall down because somebody prays for you. If in fact, if you can't stand up, you can't stand up. And so, but right prior to the revival breaking out, God gave me a dream. And the dream, he showed me going down under the glory of God. And I was face down. And I remember thinking, because people were still walking around talking, I'm going like, God's here, y'all, he's here. But I was face down up against the, you know, on the ground in this dream. Well, God had me experience it before it actually happened. So that day, Father's Day, 1995, and everybody has their different experiences, but I'm standing up front, and this evangelist, Steve Hill, comes up, and he, very wonderful person, by the way. If you didn't get a chance to meet him, you missed a wonderful, wonderful person, man of God, funny. But he sat there, he takes his hand, he places it lightly on my forehead, and he says, "More Lord, more Lord." And it was literally like a whole wave of the power of God just hit me. I know this seems wild, right? It just hits me. And I literally off my feet, I go back and literally land on the ground. And it's like I'm under the glory of God. Like, I probably just needed a big whack, right? It's like, boom. It's like, oh my goodness. I didn't get hurt. It didn't bother me. I mean, it was awesome, actually. You know, God, I'm telling you, God is so powerful. Day one was amazing. I remember we're watching what's happening, what's taking place. You know, you don't know that it's going to happen another day. You think this is it. And I remember every one of us at some point during this, because it kept going, you know, we didn't want to end it, you know, and some powerful stories of Pastor Kilpatrick. Once Pastor Kilpatrick said, "Get in, this is God." And he goes down for hours, you know, and he just talked about that, that we knew as our shepherd that it was good, it was safe to go. We just went after God. At one point, all of our children were in the cafeteria area, this long hallway of the school that we had purchased and renovated. And we wanted our kids to be in the glory of God, our young kids. And so we started going down the hallway. We know each other. We're not even talking to each other. We're just walking like classroom after classroom after classroom, trying to get to the cafeteria. We're beelining it to our kids. And we grab our kids, and they don't even know what's going on. We're like bringing them to the sanctuary. And I remember my daughter, Amber, she's with us now. She's administrative assistant with me. She also worked with us on the TV television program and got a wonderful husband, Blake. But she was a young little girl then. And so Steve Hill took these children, kind of put them in a circle, and he grabbed their hands. And we're just trying to understand how the glory works. And I'm sitting here watching this take place. And he says, "More Lord." And all of a sudden, the power of God just hits the children. And as soon as that happened, it's literally like all the wind, like, I don't know if you've ever been diving before, but it's like you have no oxygen. It's just gone. And literally, I'm like, and then all of a sudden it goes, guess what? God took a spirit out of me. He gave me a new spirit. God, David talks about this, you know, it's what happened, you know. We always talk about, that's when we all got saved. We thought we were saved, we got saved, but it's not true. I mean, obviously people were saved. But God literally, you know, replaced the spirit, put a right spirit within me, I guess, or whatever. And it happened to some others as well. I remember Brad Ogden talking about this. He was a cameraman, and it literally, all of a sudden, and he had to sit down on the camera thinking, what are you going to do? You can't breathe. You're about to catch his breath. And all of a sudden, I mean, God can take a broken, tattered, and torn. If you're a pastor right now and you're thinking about, oh my goodness, I don't know how this thing can be fixed. I mean, God can just take all that brokenness out of you. He can take that whatever that is that's weighted you down, you know, spirit of heaviness, and he can replace it with a spirit of joy. And it was just like, boom. I mean, didn't ask for it. He just did it. And he was preparing us and preparing me, I know, to be able to do the things that I'm doing today and to work in revival. So that's some of the things that took place.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.